if you read your Bible chapter by chapter, as most people do, you read Psalm 25 and you see it's a prayer for guidance, but it's also a prayer for forgiveness and for deliverance. Psalm 25 was a prayer about David's great sin with Bathsheba. And then when you start reading in Psalm 26, he says in the first verse, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide." I've walked in mine integrity. And you wonder, how can a man say that? Well, it's because these two psalms, they're at different time periods. The one, you look and David is, in Psalm 25, talking about how to pray, how we should pray after we've sinned, a great sin. But in Psalm 26, it's a declaration of his integrity and his trust in God at a different time in his life. And so I just wanted to insert that in there. Understanding the context of these psalms, they're not always put in what you would say chronological order. They may be a psalm that's printed later that's actually an earlier psalm. But always know this, every word in God's Word is right where it's supposed to be. It's not for us to rearrange any of this. God wants us to dig and read and understand His Word. What's being said, when it's being said, why it's being said. Then you begin to get a bigger understanding. And I want us to look in Psalm 26. And I just wanted to say that because, again, in Psalm 25, you see him talking a whole lot about his sin. And then in Psalm 26, saying that he's walked in his integrity. So, Psalm 26 is a model of praying when you're suffering, but not suffering for sin. David is probably running from Saul in Psalm 26. David was a man that was hunted down as a king, especially in his earlier years. Saul hunted him down first. After that, then you had, his own familiar friend, Absalom, a son, trying to kill his dad to take the kingship. So, in Psalm 26, you can see this as not only a declaration of integrity, but a prayer when you're suffering. And There are times when we may experience a great deal of trouble in this life. I mean, I'm probably everybody in here that's saved any length of time, excuse me, has at different points seemed like had trouble coming from everywhere. You think one thing at a time. Maybe, Lord, I could, but then you've got other things coming in. And you have a great deal of trouble. And when that trouble is not because of sin, and we and always, listen, that's the first thing you and I should do. God, is this trouble because of something I've done? Because a lot of times it might be. The trouble in my and people that want to be ignorant about trouble coming in their life, they want to be ignorant of their own personal rebellion or sin. I worry about those people. We should be willing to look and say, God, is it because of something that I've done? And if it's not an area in our life that God's wanting us to work on, then you and I can know. Look in a place like Psalm 26 and find a pattern of how to pray when you're suffering, not for sin. I want us to read it. Judge me, O Lord. Look what he said. For I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Now, when he's talking about not sliding, he's talking about backsliding. Sliding out of the will of God. Sliding away from the Lord. And a couple of things he said here that would keep a man or a woman from sliding. There it is. I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. When a person walks through this life trusting in the Lord and trusting in their own integrity. Listen, God will give a saved person some integrity about them. There's some things a saved person, especially if they're trying to walk with God, you'll say, I just ain't going to do that. I've got enough integrity not to do that. Amen. I want to tell you something. There's lost people with a certain amount of integrity. Saved people definitely should have some integrity about them. And so, if you don't want to slide, walk in some integrity. And walk trusting also in the Lord. You're trusting in Him that He's going to help you. Now, when He said that He walked in integrity, that word integrity twice in the book of Proverbs is contrasted with the word perverseness. So if you want the opposite of the perverse world, it's somebody with some integrity. Again, Solomon put that in Proverbs. So, this integrity, it isn't perverseness. It isn't some twisted, crooked morality. Amen? He's talking about moral purity and innocence. Some things, I know the Bible says this, that pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. pride is probably the greater of the seven deadly sins. But I think there's a certain kind. You could be proud of your children, not to the point where you lift them up above everybody else. Maybe the word proud is not even what we're looking for. But you know what I'm saying. And I mean, you can take a certain amount of pride in the way you work. And maybe again, pride's not the word that we're looking for, but you understand what I'm talking about. It has a great deal to do with integrity. And the world wants to, you know, twist that. So David's saying that he feels confident if God judges him. Because he told him, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. David is saying that you know, if God were to judge him and consider whether he, you know, whatever it was that God was to bring into his life, that God would look at his integrity and that God would look at how he followed the Lord. Do you think God will look upon us and look at our integrity? Sure he will. Our purity and our innocence. Whether we tried. I mean, you find all through the Scripture God talking about men and women that loved him in a great way. Yeah, God sees that, doesn't he? God sees that. And I'm not talking about us being judged whether or not we're going to get into heaven. Christ took that judgment. Talking about him judging us as a people, as a child of God. What God deems that he would do with our life or what would come or not. Now, again, you think about that previous psalm, but there's forgiveness. God, listen, told Solomon this over in Kings. And this was after all that happened with David and Bathsheba, and David had been king, and now Solomon's going to be king. And God told Solomon, said, if you will walk uprightly as your father David did. So God is looking at him and saying, your father walked uprightly. Thank God for forgiveness of sin. That didn't just mark David's whole life. Amen? Otherwise, God would have said, spent more time, don't you be like your father David committing adultery. I'm sure God had a talk with him about that, but the point I'm getting at is that God told Solomon, your father walked in integrity. And in uprightness of heart. So God forgives sin. God forgets it. God washes it, doesn't he? God can look over David's life, and even knowing that that happened, he can say to David's own son that David walked in integrity. That David was walking in and living a morally pure and innocent life in his trust in the Lord. Amen? to trust in the Lord. So, he trusted in the Lord without sliding or wavering. He said that he would not slide. Therefore, I shall not slide, the end of verse number 1. I've walked in mine integrity. I've trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Trusting not in false gods, not in himself, not in his military might as a mighty man or his military army, but trusting in the Lord. You and me in our personal lives. And, us as a body, even as a church, be like David sometimes wanting vindication to be shown that we're innocent and undeserving of whatever difficult situation has come our way. I can remember when we were being scoffed, told that our forefathers here at the church were thieves, took land built on what wasn't ours. We wanted vindicated of that. We hadn't done no such a thing. This church hadn't done no such a thing. Knew they hadn't done no such a thing. Thank God for the day that it was proven. That God, listen, God got the glory in all of that. God got the glory. All we could do, all I could do, was trust in the Lord. When you're dealing with the world, I mean, you're dealing with people who their minds, a lot of times, listen, they don't even think right. And now listen, David here, he's got a man, like I said, probably Saul, that's out to kill him. I mean, Saul at times almost seems like he's out of his mind. He's supposed to have been God's anointed. He was at one time God's anointed king. David wouldn't even kill him and could have. Why? Because he said, I'm not going to touch God's anointed. If God wants him dead, God can kill him. I'm not going to do it. And then have God angry with me. That's how we... He walked in his integrity and trusted the Lord. A lot of times we want to put our hands into try to prove innocence of whatever's going on in our life. Listen, there's nothing in the Scripture that says that God will ever immediately deliver you and I. Out of trouble. Out of troubling situations. But the Bible does say that God will work all things together for the good to them that love God. Them who are the called according to His purpose. God knows how long we need to undergo the trials that we go through. When he told the disciples, let us go to the other side, he knew exactly how long it would take them to sail through that storm. He knew. He knew all the things that the Apostle Paul went through. Think about that. God knew exactly what was going to come in Paul's life. He told him ahead of time, you're going to suffer many things for my name's sake. Part of trusting God, as David does here, is, you know, praying. Praying in a way that helps us to get through these things that we're facing. Look at verse 2. He said, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Examine me, O Lord. Prove me. In other words, try me or test me. Like that, you know, God has many other prophets. When he's saying, prove me, there's an English word that we don't often look at in Scripture, but it ties in the trying and the testing of evaluating us. Evaluating. How many times have you heard preachers say, God knows what we're going through and what we're going to do? Listen, he evaluated Job. He let Job go through what he did to see what he did. Evaluating us. And so David says, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Why, he's wanting God to look him over. Examine me. I don't like examinations. Examine me, David said to God. I mean, that's saying, God, look at me from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. Examine me. Prove me. Try my reins and my heart. His reins, his mind, his inner thoughts, his heart, his motives. That's what your heart is. Your motives. Why I did what I did. Why I've done what I've done. Why I walked in my integrity. I trusted in the Lord. Why I did it. Did I only do it to get something back from God? David's asking the Lord to evaluate his inner man, his thoughts, and his motives. And do you think that he would be found sinless? Do you think any one of us would be found sinless? No, absolutely not. But David is wanting to be found of God as a man of integrity. Then if there's sin in my life that I don't know about, God, I don't want to be ignorant of it. Why would anybody not want God to tell him? Do you not think God knows or doesn't know? People are ignorant to think that God doesn't know what they're up to. God knows what we're up to. David is under life-threatening persecution. The government, looks like, of Israel, Saul being king, is coming after him. I mean, that's life-threatening. That's pretty big trouble, wouldn't you say? I mean, that your life is at, your very life is at stake. That's as deep as anybody would want to go. I don't want my very life threatened. I can take a lot of things, but I mean, to know that I'd be killed, my family be killed, that's serious business. And when a person finds themselves in a serious situation, that's when they start getting serious with God. Or should. We should have been serious with God ahead of time. I should have been serious with God ahead of time. I shouldn't wait until things get that serious before I get serious with God. Amen. So he's praying to the Lord that, this situation would be known. Look what he says. He said, "Examine me, prove me, try my reins and my heart, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord." David's saying, "God, I have not been company with them. I have not been company with them." Hey, let's look back first. David says, "Loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth." David is saying he is always aware of God's love for him. "God, I know you love me." David was always aware of that. He's aware that God is faithfully devoted to his people that trust in him. That's good to know. You know that? That God is faithfully devoted to us? Amen. I mean, listen, when we enter into a relationship with him, he's faithful on his end. He'll always be faithful on his end. We're the ones that become unfaithful. We should be faithful. We should be able to say, like David is, "God, look in my life. I've walked in my integrity. I have trusted in you." "God, I know you love me." Do you remember Joseph when he went through what he was going through? And come out at the end about his brothers did what they did and everybody done what they did. He said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God meant it for good." God is faithful in his love to us. It is God's truth that you and I would cleave to. Part of God's truth is that he loves us with everlasting love. His mercies are new every morning. You can cleave to that. So, he's talking about how he walked. I shall not slide. And the ways to keep him from not sliding, and he even went on and said, God, examine me, prove me, try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons. Listen, it's hard to walk in truth and sit with vain persons at the same time. The Bible says in Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. How can two walk together except they be agreed? I'm going to tell you something. People that are different, you don't need to walk with them. Now, Jesus himself, he ministered to sinners. He ministered to sinners. But you would never find him in the company of their livelihood. You know, playing volleyball with them. Whatever it is people do these days. People that are different. I mean, so very different in their ways, then you know what God's ways are. To even try to pull down your integrity. You know, there are people that want to keep you from being as, having as much integrity as you do. They're uncomfortable with it. They don't want you having as much integrity as you do. They want you to be more worldly. Don't walk with those people. Don't walk with those people. You can say hello to those people. You can pray for those people. You need to love those people. But don't walk with those people. I can't go hand in hand. I'm not going to spend every day of my life with a preacher that's trying to get me to put down the King James Bible and pick up something else. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go hand in hand every day with people that want us to change our morality. I pray for them. I pray unto God that the light of heaven would shine unto them. But listen, I don't have time to spend with them. I'll witness to them. I'll testify to them. I'll tell them of the grace of God, what it does in a person's life. But I'm afraid there's a lot of them. Listen, they're just... the wicked. David saw it plainly. They're the wicked. They're the evil. They're the unrighteous. Those that would persecute him. God is a God of truth. He hates lies. Amen. He said, I have not sat in verse 4. I don't associate. Or consort with those disassemblers. That's pretenders. Play Christians. They're a Christian only when the subject comes up. Are you saved? Oh, yeah. But it's never in their conversation. And not just the conversation coming out of their mouth, the conversation coming out of their life. David was a godly man. And here he is asking God to look him over. And he's saying, God, I've not consorted with these people. I've not sit with evildoers. I've not been in their congregation. I will wash my hands in innocency. Verse 6, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord. David gives us the imagery of the priest at the wash basin. David's saying, I will wash my hands of sin. That's what he's talking about. Just like the priest going in to the temple, I'll wash my hands clean. I'm clean of it. That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Think about that. I'll wash my hands in innocency. In other words, he's saying, I'm not only going to walk in my integrity, I'm going to maintain a pure lifestyle. When I come into the house of God, my hands will be washed pure. People have been saying for years about how that there are Baptists. I say it because we're a Baptist church and there's Baptist churches all around us. People that get out here and they want to drink on Friday and Saturday night and get up in the choir on Sunday morning. They want to shack up and then go to church and act like everything's okay. David said, I will wash my hands in innocency. So picture him standing at the wash basin. That's what God wants us to do in prayer. Before him. See, when those priests, I mean, you really got to get a hold of that. Then there's a wash basin here. And I'm going in. They are washing before Almighty. Before the Almighty God. He knows. I mean, they are now open before him. They are there in the temple coming into his presence. That's a picture of being as open before God as you can be. It's no wonder he was saying aforetime, examine me. Examine me, prove me, try my reins and my heart. David's promising to praise the Lord in verse 7, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving. And tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house. Oh yeah. I have loved the habitation of thy house. The temple where the Lord lives. The place where he said, thine honor dwelleth. the place where thine honor dwelleth. A place where your honor, where we can see how honorable God is. All of this is proving that David, listen, David's trying to say in all of this, God, I don't feel like I deserve this suffering. I've done everything right. I've walked in my integrity. I love you. I love your house. I don't sit with the sinners. I mean, everything. He's going right. I come into your house and I'm washed. My hands are clean. I publish thanksgiving. He's offering up praise to the Lord. Lord, I've loved the habitation of thy house. Verse 9, gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men. In whose hands is mischief, their right hand is full of bribes. He said, God, don't gather me up with them, because I'm not them. He didn't want to be lumped in with the wicked. And then the thought, look at what he says. In whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Again, redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In other words, he's saying, I'm on a balance. I'm not leaning to the right. I'm not leaning to the left. My foot standeth in an even place, in the congregation will I bless the Lord. Verse 10, in whose hands is mischief? He's talking about the wicked, and their right hand is full of bribes. They're always ready to do something wrong. And David is saying, again, I walk in my integrity. Redeem me. Be merciful to me. You remember how this psalm began up in the first, David confidently asserted that he walked in his integrity, didn't he? And showed how his life contrasted with those who was persecuting him. The trouble that he was receiving from Saul. And David makes that one last petition for redemption and mercy. And then he makes that final statement. After verse 11, when he said, I'll walk in mine integrity, redeem me, and be merciful unto me. Here's what he says. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregation will I bless the Lord. He made that last plea and he said, this is what I'm going to do. He sure wasn't going to turn his back on God. He said, I'm standing in an even place. He's going to trust the Lord, in other words, is what he's saying. I'm going to trust the Lord regardless of the trouble that has come into my life. I'm going to look to the Lord. I'm going to keep my integrity about me. Bless the Lord. When you can see Him, pray again for guidance and forgiveness, and now here you see Him praying, really, that God, that he could just keep trusting the Lord. I believe David really wanted to trust the Lord. I don't believe David wanted to waver. He had, and it hurt him. I believe that hurt David very deeply. But the Lord is always there for David. Amen. Amen. All right, I'm done this evening.